Sponzorem této epizody je sázková kancelář Betano. Ahoj Spartěni a Spartěnky. Vítám vás u dalšího dílu podcastu Spartanských novin z tohohle krásného studia Loud & Clear na Pražských Vinohradech. Zdravím vás od mikrofonu já, Michal Durčák, a dnes je tu se mnou náš expert, kterého znáte možná pod jeho Twitterovou přezdívkou pryského křídelník Vojta Mrklas. Ahoj Vojto.
Ahoj Spartěni, díky za pozvání.
A naše pozvání přijal asistent hlavního trenéra Lars Fries. Lars, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Děkujeme taky nejen Oldovi Heilichovi, že nám půjčil tohleto studio, ale taky Ondrovi Kasíkovi a Spartě, že nám Larse půjčili. Sponzorem této epizody je Betano, jak už víte. Celou epizodu najdete na našem Hero Hero profilu herohero.co/spartanské noviny. Aby nám rozuměl už i Lars, tak to přepnu zase do angličtiny. A jak už jste zvyklí, budeme i tenhle ten díl nejen bude k poslechu, ale také najdete videoverzi s českými titulky pro ty, kteří angličtinu úplně nevládnou. OK, Lars, it's good to have you here. First question straight out of the bag. Could you tell us what you learned from the game against Olomouc? Because it's the only game we played in the season so far at the time we are recording the podcast.
Yeah, what did we learn? I think it's first game after we became champions, and I think we saw a mature team who took the game in the hand, and I think we did well in all aspects. So it's always quite exciting to play the first game in the season, and especially when you have won something. And how do you go into the next? But I'm really happy with the way we played the game.
I mean, this was the second Sigma game for you in charge. Second Sigma game that came the first in the season, right? We played against Sigma as well when you came to Sparta in the winter. The first game was against Sigma as well. So can you compare those two games? Tell us maybe how did you see the team mature throughout these two games?
Basically, it is two totally different games. It was the game away was a really poor one. Bad pitch didn't allow us to play. They tried to kill the game, and we played very, very slow. Didn't set up our play very well. To be fair, we were quite lucky to get away there with a point. Even though Pana had a header from 30 centimeters at the end of the game. So we could have stolen the 3 points there. It was totally different back at Letna because, as I say, we got hand on the game from the early beginning. We played a totally different game in terms of we were good on the ball, we played fast, we find the spaces where we could hurt them. And I think in this game, when they tried to adjust their system and the way of play, we had the counter move and punished them straight away. So when they came with a 5-man in the back, changed to a 4 and then again to a 5, I think we did very well. The players adjusted so fast.
One aspect of both games, and I'm pointing out to the one we played at Sigma again during the first, you know, during the playoffs, basically, is the huge support from the fans. We had a whole stand at Sigma before when we marched for the title, and now we had a sold-out stadium. And one new aspect was that the fans came and clapped players and chanted 40 minutes before the game. How important is this for the team to see that the stands and the fans are ready even like 40 minutes before the game?
Massive. It makes a big difference and a massive importance for the guys, for all of us to coming out and warm up and see and hear and feel we are one unit. It's our castle, and nobody come here and get anything from us. Maybe it sounds like a small tiny thing, but it isn't. It's so important, and I really wish and hope we can do it in every game from now on, because it means so much. And as I see us Spartans, we are so strong together, and I can't thank the fans enough for being there for us, and it helps us a lot when we come out.
Can you also focus more on the atmosphere and the fans before the match during the warm-up than during the game?
Yeah, but I feel a way that when we are there and you come out, players are warming up and they feel, wow, we are part of this. This is our castle. We will battle, we will do whatever it takes to have this win. It just raises you 10%, 15%, 20%, and that's a lot.
I love that expression that it's our castle. It sounds really nice. Actually, we had a lot of really nice pictures from the time that we were celebrating the title, and there were a lot of pictures where Letná really looked like a castle to us. It was so really like that expression. Yeah.
Okay, away from Olomouc, because it's gonna be like a game after when this is released. One of the most important games of the summer is going to be against FC Copenhagen. I hope I'm pronouncing it right, at least. Because me, Vojta, and even most of the Czech fans are not watching the Danish league. Could you introduce Copenhagen to us at least a bit?
Yeah, I will. I just came back from Iceland. I saw the first game against Breiðablik up there, and to be honest, they struggled a little bit up there, but it's also a different place to play. So, but at the end of it, they had a quite easy 2-0 win. Copenhagen is a big club, and they have expanded a lot. Also, let's say money wise, economically. The last thing we just discussed before we went on is they also picking players from the Premier League, and it says a lot. Because they have big, big muscles with the money, and they buy players, big players, to their team, and they have a really strong team. On top of that, even though they play with some young guns from their own academy, we need to remember they are quite experienced in Europe. They played the group stages in Champions League last season. City, Dortmund, for example, they played against them, so they know what they do. They are the biggest team in Denmark. And what can we expect? We can expect a team who are quite mature in the way they are playing. They have a mature team. Of course, they bring in young players, but they have some national players from abroad, also Danish national player. They bring in former FC Copenhagen players. They sold for Italy, for Turkey, and so on. Bring them back home, and they play for them now. So it's a good team. It will be a really tough test. I feel right now it's a 50-50. Playing away and playing at home against them is two different things. But I look forward for the challenge. I know them very well. I train many of the players. I know the coach very well. One of the assistants was my assistant also in Denmark, so I work with the sporting director in one of my former clubs, so I know them very well, and it will be a tough test because FC Copenhagen is a big club also in European football.
Vojta is going to ask a little bit about tactic, but my question is, because we have a lot of Danish players, lot of Danish stuff, so you guys know them very well, is this going to be our advantage, that we are basically, they know more about us than more they know about Sparta?
Yeah, but you know, nowadays I think you got all the information. Teams who's playing the European competition, they're well organized. They got all the information they need, and if they don't have it, they get it. So I think they will know. I will say everything about Sparta Praha also before they will face us. But of course, it might be a little advantage that we know some of them and played against them and know some of the weakness and strength player by player also.
So. If you can maybe compare FC Copenhagen, is there a club in the Czech league that is comparable to them? Or is there a match that Sparta has played under your tenure that is comparable to them? Except maybe, is it Slavia? Is Slavia similar?
No, that's not. Not. I think we're the team who we can compare to Copenhagen, the style of play. they wanna play football. They're quite good at it. They have small players who can challenge. They could be dribblers. They have Cornelius, the big striker up top.
Mm-hmm.
When he is playing, it's a different game. So they have different faces. They attack a lot with the fullbacks. They normally play a 4-3-3 with three men in a line in the middle, and some exciting strikers up top. Jordan Larsen, Henke Larsen's son.
Mm-hmm.
They have brought in an Egypt guy from a smaller club in Denmark. So they picked the best players from the other clubs in Denmark.
Yeah.
And there's two free. Clubs who are battling for the title in Denmark, and in Copenhagen is by far the biggest, and by far the let's say the club with the biggest muscle as well.
Yeah, because there was kind of one thing that I was always curious about, that what kind of teams can Sparta compare themselves in Europe generally, like when it comes to how big Sparta is as a club.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was always thinking Copenhagen is somewhere similar, but nowadays they are like they have more money probably, or I would say like do you think it's incomparable today, or do you think that the clubs are like of a similar might?
It's around that size. I think we should compare ourselves with as you say, they have a lot of money. They sell players, young players that develop for big clubs, big leagues in Europe, get big money in and reinvest in the squad.
Yeah.
So it's not only they sell players, but they also put in a lot of monies for the players, big wage salary for the players. So they have decided to stay in Europe, and they experienced that.
But that is like the Champions League effect, right? You go to Champions League, and then every team in Europe basically sees your players, then everyone wants your players. I think it's kind of, there is this thing in Czech Republic that maybe not a lot of scouts are watching our league, and maybe it's a little bit different when we go to the European competitions, and now everybody sees our players. Then maybe do you think that like going to European competitions can be for Sparta can be this like stepping point for Sparta to reach the similar heights?
Yeah, 100%. Because one thing is what you will earn by entering the Champions League from UEFA and so on. Another thing is your player will be more worth. So as you say, you will sell them for bigger money. Eyes will be with looking here, but I don't agree that scouts are not watching the Czech League, because we are people watch us here. I guarantee you.
Perfect. That's good to hear.
Okay, let's move on from the preview. Lars, you've been in Prague for more than 7 months. Does it meet your expectations you had before coming to Sparta, or is it even better?
Of course, it's better, because we had a plan, and we had a job to do, and we executed with a championship. So of course, this is the overall goal. So yes, and we discussed it, and could it be that soon? And we did it. That's one thing of moving here. Another thing was the city, the style, the lifestyle. The people, the Czech people, and so on, and it has been a real pleasure to be a part. I really love to be in the club. I really love to be at Strahov. I really love to be at Letna, because the club is full of really good, passionate people for Sparta, and we have one goal together. But I also love to have a walk in the streets of Praha and look at the beautiful city, meet people, because many people want to talk football, and I'm happy to do that, because I think it's a privilege to be a part of this.
So you joined us after the departure of Thomas Nørgaard, and it has been a change of position for you, because while he moved to a head coach position, you switched back to assistant role. So do you recognize that there is a big difference between those, or do you think it's kind of similar?
Of course, there's a difference. But I think it's important that you keep yourself in the way you are, no matter your position, because that's the only thing you can be 100% that yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to be that, no matter I'm a head coach or assistant coach. Then the role, there can be a difference, and there are differences, because at the end of the day, if we don't agree, Brian is the one who pushed the button. He's the chief, and he's the one who lead the sheep. And this is the only thing where I think there's a difference.
Yeah,
the management, the leadership, the final push at the bottom, mm-hmm. and so on. Because despite of that, I think my daily work is more or less the same.
Mm-hmm.
The way I talk to the players, the way I talk to the staff around, the way I handle things. Some jobs I don't have because I'm not in charge, but
yeah.
The most important for me is to being me.
Yeah.
No matter I'm an assistant coach and a head coach or a head coach. And that's for me the life in general. Mm-hmm. I think the only one you can be 100% is yourself if you're the real one.
So do I understand it correctly that you mean by this that Brian Priske gives you a lot of freedom to maybe express yourselves, like when it comes to tactical stuff or just like in general?
Yeah, of course. Or not of course, but yeah, 100%. Because that was also one of the chats we had when I came here, and we knew each other from the old days,
mm-hmm.
And he know what he got, and you got what you see, and that's for me the most important. There's no hidden things, and we can trust each other, and I think if the loyalty and the trust you got in a team, if this is good enough,
mm-hmm.
you don't need to make a lot of questions for are you doing the right things or should you do this. We need to make questions every single day to become more wise, but not in terms of do you do the right thing. So yeah. I have a lot of freedom, and this is also what I that was one of the reasons to come here, because I know how it is to work with Brian. I have never been working with him when he was in charge, but we have been assistants together,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really happy about it.
If I understand it correctly, and what I figured out from what Brian and you and Luca says always during the interviews and other parts, that Brian is like doing the his management style is built a lot of on equality. In the terms, yes, he's the one in charge, he's the one making the call. But on the other hand, like the hierarchy is not as strict. You know what to do and you work together, and the result you accept and do everything together, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, back to the title.
Yes.
For us, it was immensely important. I remember when Brian came here, he was like, I can't take away your pain, but I'm the one who can solve this. He solved it, you and the others. What effect, because you know the team through and through and do the daily work, what effect it had on the whole club and the players? Because for us, it was like lifting a curse after 9 years.
So the effect of winning the title?
Yes.
Yeah. I think this is what we... I think we haven't seen it yet, and I think we will see it in Europe. I think we will see the first coming games here. Where are we? What has it actually meant to us? What has it given to us? And what can we, let's say, benefit from it? One thing is all the emotions and feelings. We cannot take that away. We celebrated for a week. It was like becoming a student once again, and that was a great feeling. I think the way of being it together. I think this is what can help us into what we actually want to achieve in Europe, because we were through a bit of pain also through last season. We struggled in games. We came back. We had a few losses also. We felt the pain, but the way we deal with the pain and came back, I think this can help us a lot into this season. And also the way of being proud, not only as a team, as a staff, as a club, but a whole city. So when we are at the boat trip, and we are out there at the river, it was fantastic. That is one of the best moments for me. It was not when we lifted the trophy, but it was when we shared the emotions and feelings with the fans in the town.
Yeah. I would like to ask you about one thing, because you came in winter, but when we associate these moments of pain, for example, with the season, we usually think about the moments in the autumn part of the season, because there was the derby and stuff like that that really made us feel pain. But then in the spring, for us as fans, it was just extraordinary. We don't really remember much from that. For me, it was just like a big line of wins that resulted in us lifting the trophy. So, but you have said that there were some kind of painful moments in the spring as well. So what would you say were these like downs?
And I understand why you feel like this, because there's been a lot of pain, real pain for Spartans for many years. And what you expired the last 7 months has been nothing. So I understand that. It's a really good picture you paint there. But for me, it I think it's more on the small nerdy things, the details, who didn't work well. The cup final. Also the small details, first game when I faced Slavia, the draw, but still, there was situations in the game where I felt this is painful, because we are not there yet, and also, let's say, we could really feel that everybody wanted the title so much, then there was
pressure.
Quite a lot of stress. There was quite a lot of stress, and you say pressure. I want to say stress, because for me stress is not something nice, but the pressure is for me a privilege. And if there was no pressure in the job at Sparta, we do a really bad job.
There was this one thing with the stress, and that everyone wants to win the title, and we completely understand it. But for us, it was just really interesting to see that in the end of the season, where you were, I would say that you were able to sacrifice a little bit of the beauty of the game just for like doing this final step. So how did you feel about that? Do you think it was like necessary evil, or like do you think it was like necessary to do this, or do you still consider it like just a normal part of the job?
It was needed, for sure. It was needed, and this is also where we need to see. We have taken some steps this season. I can easily say that now, but when it will appear again, what is the reaction then? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was needed to be a little bit pragmatic and do something different that we want to do, and the style of play and the DNA of Sparta, or now and in the future also. But it was needed. And at the end of the day, we remember it right now, but let's say if we sit here again in 1 year's time, nobody will remember. We will just remember the championship, and that's the job.
Yeah.
Oh, I will remember the game at Liberec. I thought we are dead. I seriously thought we are dead.
Yeah, and what a crazy day, actually, because that was the turnaround. That was the turnaround. That was where Slavia lost it. And
they drew against Radec.
Exactly that. And Ava Mabil took the responsibility in the new time.
He's gonna be forever remembered for the bets. Like one thing I can admit, like he was the only one who had guts to take both penalties at this time. You could see on the players that they were scared, and he was not.
No,
which I'm gonna admire him and remember him forever.
And for the penalty in the derby.
Yes, and for the penalty in the derby.
So we have already discussed your relationship with Bram Priske, but he's not the only guy in Sparta. There's also Christian Klarup. So, but you are this whole group of like guys from Denmark. So, do you spend time together off the pitch as well, or is it like mostly like work life balance? Trying to keep that.
We work a hell of a lot. And it's a real pleasure. We have a work day starting at 7 o'clock. We meet in at Strahov, and then we spent the time there until 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the night. So we are a lot together, and we got the same form of humor. and I think it's important that you can be honest to each other, and we are say things as they are and don't hide anything, because that's a part of it when you're together that much. Do we spend time together outside football? I think we got almost 10, 11 hours together every day, and yes, we do. We go out having a dinner now and then, but we also love to have the few hours alone before we go to sleep. So it's a mix. So it's not like we are just working together, because I think what happened down here and what we experience also down here, and we are abroad, all of us are without family down here. It also a special bond together. No matter we have been working together before, but that was in the Danish local warm environment where we knew everything and went back to the grandparents and stuff like this. Here you're all alone, and that's also nice, but it also takes a lot. So we are a lot together in the job, but we're also seeing each other outside, but not every day.
Okay.
I can imagine it helps a lot when you have like Danish colleagues, because I was living abroad as well. But when you said like the Danish local environment is warm and everything, if you would compare both nations, Czech and Danish, we are quite similar, right?
Yeah.
In a lot of aspects.
Yeah.
Or would you say what's different for you?
I think the Czech people are a little bit more closed in general. Not I see the Danish people like open-minded and stuff like this, but you see it here when you come. And it's not a negative thing in general, but I think it's just you need to prove before you can earn, and that's fair. But there's a lot of similar things into it, and then I have to say, despite we are Danish people working in Sparta. No matter when I go in the city center, I meet Danish people. So there's a lot of Danish people in Prague in general. So yeah, I think that's the biggest difference actually. And of course, then the language. The language it's so far away from Danish, and not everyone is speaking English. So I think that's a big thing.
Yeah, we had a lot of Danish students back there. Now we have Danish coaches, right? Yeah, so we matured. Yeah. Anyway, back to work, because I'm not going to ask you about food, beer, and everything. You experienced that during the title winning.
So the saying, drunk as a Danish, it belongs to the school.
So it's a school. It's not like this.
Yeah,
I couldn't imagine Brian and you drinking.
It happened.
Okay. Let's go back to the job. Your main focus is, from what we've heard from Brian Kuchtich and other people, is offensive game. I know that you're not doing just that and you're working all together. Could you tell us what you switched and changed at the club, and what principles did you change which helped us in the spring part of the league?
In general, if we say I'm looking into and are in charge of when we are in position, then people understand it's not when we are attacking, but it's also in the build up. It's also when, no matter where, when we are on the ball.
There was actually the other question I wanted to ask. If this is correct understanding.
Yeah, it is. So it starts with a goal kick in general, and end with the goal. What did I change? I really don't know, because I don't know what Thomas was digging into. I saw the game. Of course, I have seen all the games. So I was starting at the attacking end with the phase three and phase two, what we're calling. We are building it up in a little bit nerdy, but phase one, to build up the goal kick. Phase two is where we try to establish, and phase three is actually where we want to finish the attack, getting into good positions and so on, hopefully score a goal. So I started at the other end because they were spent a lot in the first phase. Mm-hmm. And we have some phrases in our style of play that's very important for us. We are not so interested in having 600 passes in the team, having a lot of possession. In many games, we win the possessions anyway, but it's not the aim.
Mm-hmm.
The aim is to have more chances and goal scoring opportunities than the opponent and make them as big as possible. So that means the XT, the expected goal, is as high as possible. That's one of the values for us and the facts we are looking into. That also means, and when we play the game from build-up, we want to go vertical, that means against the goal, as often as possible. But it doesn't mean we are kicking long balls, but we have a direction at goal because can we get up there? There's a big chance to create a chance.
Does this also mean that there is a... the it's more risky, the game, when you, because we see many times that the teams that like, or we call players who are like this risk averse, these players that do not pass forward, just pass the ball around. So when you go vertical, it also is often also a riskier, right?
I really don't like the word risk because it limited your way of thinking and the way of creating something. Because if you work with risk, you often think of losing something.
Yeah, yeah.
And in my way of thinking, I rather want to win something, also with a pass. So I want to win some meters. I want to win some areas in the game by passing.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you mean. But I think the teams, because there's actually a lot of teams in the Czech League that play with no risk.
Mm-hmm.
And the teams who play with no risk, they have probably one touch from goal kick. And that's a long one.
Yeah.
So they don't want to play.
Yeah.
And that's fair. That's a style of play. I fully accept that. But I think if you do that, there's a lot of coincidences in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't decide, because the long ball you kick, will you win the ball or when you win the ball?
Hmm.
And when you win the ball, where will it drop? Mm-hmm. So you need to anticipate a lot of things and you don't have the game in your hand.
Hmm.
So we want to have the game in the hand, with the ball, without the ball. I don't think you, let's use your word, risk a lot by having vertical passes. But of course, you try to search tighter spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So you can lose the ball, but I think you win more than you lose by playing this style.
Yeah, I see. I was thinking more like losing the ball, maybe like with precisely these like longer passes beyond the last line of defense that then go go off the pitch or stuff like that. But that you often just not take 20 passes to like build the perfect opportunity, but you go quicker and you try to get to these chances a little bit quicker.
One thing we have to adjust from last season to this is the phase two where we established, because one of the things we were doing, it's quite nerdy now, but we went from
no problem at all
our phase number one in the build up and more or less many times direct to phase number three. So that means it was not a long ball, but we was not in this phase two where we built the attack because we want to get through as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That was good, but it also gave us what you're talking about, a little bit of many ball losses and take some bad decision. So in this season, we worked a little bit more. We don't want to be in the phase two that long, but it's necessary for us.
Okay.
But the other thing is also, one thing you need to remember, when we get the ball, when we have the ball, the opposition can't score.
Yeah.
You can also defend with the ball.
Yeah.
So it's important that we get players who's brave, players who want the ball, players who support each other, and a phrase is, we have two jobs. We have always more than one job. So when I have been passing there, my job is not done. I have another job to do further up the
pitch. Yeah, I see.
So this is where it linked up.
Because for me, this is actually some of the stuff that we have seen in the match against Sigma as well, against Olmos, because you have kind of, sometimes you attacked, you made these really quick, quick attacks with Haraslin and the end scoring goals. But then there were these moments of the game where you were just basically passing around and calming the game down. Is that something that you really want the players to do, to sometimes like take this pause a little bit, calm the game down a little bit, and then try and kill the opponent again?
Not on purpose, because what I mean is, every single time we can create a chance, get a goal scoring opportunity, take it.
Okay.
So it's not like this is a part of our game.
Mm-hmm.
If there's 5 minutes left, we are one up, of course, keep the ball.
Because yeah,
we defend with the ball. But in our style of play, it's not like we want these 1,000 passes or these 600 passes.
Mm-hmm.
Can we have another chance? We want to go for that. But sometimes it requires we keep the ball to open up the opponent, because what we will face, as we did against Sigma, is it's not one bus, it's two and three buses parked in front of their box.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be a little bit, we cannot go this way all the time.
I see.
So I say, we want to go vertical, but it needs to be sometimes horizontal before we can go vertical.
It's opening up the spaces.
Can we go, we talk about windows, mm-hmm. passing through lines.
Mm-hmm.
When we can do that, we want to do that.
Yes.
I think like when we turn back to the spring, Slavia also exploited the build-up phase that maybe took sometimes maybe too much time.
Mm.
I think it was during the last derby, 3-1, and also during the draw, that they were able to exploit our build-up, and then gained the ball always in really dangerous areas, which resulted in
They also scored the goal. The second one, I think, was scored. The one that made it 2-0 was scored from a loss in
the free
game.
Yes. Yeah.
I think there was a pass from Zeleny to Asger Sørensen.
I think that was Vojta was saying, is basically, but you eliminate this when you get like a better phase two. You eliminate this because you get more stability in the game, right?
But it's also the belief and the trust and. Mm. If you want to play this style of football, you cannot do it with 8 men. You need 11 players being a part.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it's also important we got a keeper who can play and who want to play, because it's a part of it. So some will say, wow, using the keeper in this area is a risk.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It's a part of the game, and it's a really good opportunity to set up a really good attack.
Yeah.
One thing I read about interview with Kuchtič is he said that you're the guy who cares a lot about details. You also said that during the spring there was some small details you didn't like. Is that true? You're a perfectionist?
I will say so. And I think the demands is a big thing in football, no matter who it is. Is it a young gun? Is it a big star from the national team? Is it a foreign player? We need to reach the next level, and we can only do that being honest. And Kukta is an honest person, and I'm an honest person. And when we make and look into small details, we need a lot of demands. And I think with being honest and demand a lot, have the feedback, have a talk about maybe, because I'm not right every single time, but we have a discussion of how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important that we demand from each other.
So you said we were mentioning details.
Mm.
That now there is quite a big piece of the puzzle, of the title puzzle, is gone with Tomáš Čvančara. So do you think that the attacking game will be changed by details, or do you think it will require some more like strategic things to change to basically replace him? Yeah.
We don't change our style of play, mm-hmm. because we lose a player, and it's the same with Svanci. So when he's leaving us, he deserve the step, and he deserved the move, but other players coming in. We have already signed one, and young guns are in and around to take over. So the style of play is the same,
mm-hmm.
but the character, the player and the role of the player changes maybe the game a little bit, because there's only one Swansea.
Yeah.
So the next one will not be exactly like him,
mm-hmm.
but it just gives us another dimension of the game. But the style of play is the same.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big believer of in the offensive game that it's all about relations.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who fill out the role and taking the role and work in one way or the other, and their skills and abilities are they strong? Are they speedy? Are they good technically? Mm-hmm. Can they shoot from the distance? It defines a little bit of where they're playing, and now we got another type, so we will change, not direct but indirect, the style of play. But we do the same, but the guy is changing. If it makes sense.
I understand that, but there will still be some like minor changes in like some of the strategic components of the attack, right? Because there is, for example, like Tomáš Vančara was really high, so there probably wouldn't be as many crosses or stuff like that. So do you think that this is something that this like relationships on the ship on the pitch will take care of that kind of, or do you like specifically say to players that now when the wing back has the ball, we probably don't cross as much as we used to or something like that.
Mm. But I know what you mean, but you're quite specific on crosses, and that's one of the things we try in general to eliminate a lot, especially from wide areas, and that means close to the sideline, because
getting closer to the house spaces.
Exactly, we need to get into the house space, and we don't need a Swansea to become dangerous from there.
Okay.
Of course, if we put a cross in from the sideline and Swansea is in there, there's a good chance to winning it. But if I should be a little bit harsh, across from the sideline with 50 meters in the air towards the goal, keeper can do everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's useless. We still see them, and we will still see them in the future. But we try to be better to get even closer to the goal.
Okay.
I understand that was specific on the crosses.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, he gave us also with his speed, in transition. We saw the Banik game away. It was an amazing game from him. But we also saw we scored 2 counter goals against Sigma. So new players coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Not only Tomáš left. Our analyst Steven Foysten was replaced by Lucas. I don't know if I pronounce
his. Let's try.
Babaloa.
That's right.
Yes. Okay. You worked together at Aalborg, if I'm corrected.
Yeah.
I'm gonna melt 2 questions together. Was he your personal witch? Did you hire him? And how much does the analyst team influence you in your decisions?
When Steven decided to leave, we need to find another one. So Brian and I was talking who was available, who could we get in, who would fit in, and what did we actually need? Was it the same type? Was it something different, and so on? And I work with Lucas in Aalborg, and he's a very talented guy, and he's very passionate for the game. Love the small details, good with the computer, watch football very well. So it was a easy call for me to say to Brian, this guy I could recommend him, because he's a hard worker as well. And Brian had a couple of conversation. Rosa also had a couple of conversations, and at the end of the day, they found the solution. I'm happy for that, because we can see already now we have taken steps in that direction. Also, we have a team with Marco and Yandis, and now also Lucas. So we have a 3-man band behind us there, doing every pre-match, every live match, every post-match, individual stuff, getting that ready, filming everything we got with drones, on manual cameras and so on, from training and match. So it's a big machine that. The other thing is that Lucas is also a kind of, he came from the academy back in Lyngby. So he has been a part of a coaching team And he's born and raised as a coach and went his way into the analysis world. So what he do right now is he's actually a lot on the pitch, much more than Steven. And the role there is he's a kind of what you see in the big clubs also in Premier League and so on is you have these hybrid roles where you are a little bit of computer guy, but yeah, also yeah. the coach, and Lucas is one of them.
I'd like to ask you about all these things because there is a lot of new stuff coming to football that you have also probably brought to Sparta as well, like the data analytics and the video and everything, stuff like that. So how do you actually handle all of that? Does it work, for example, as that you create some kind of idea where when you are on the pitch and then you want to confirm it by data, or if you can give us some examples of how you work with the data, because it must be really hard to handle all of the new stuff that's coming around.
Yeah, and you can have thousands of data and statistic material to look into, and I think it's important that you're quite straight in what you want and mm-hmm. Where we want to go, and the style of play mm-hmm. is actually where we made our match report. So we could choose hundreds of ways. I'm 100% sure that Pilsen not have the same match report as us because they don't value the way we do as they do. So mm-hmm. it's team by team. But in our match report, we have what we think is the most important.
Okay.
It could be box entries. It could be chances created. It could be XG for and against box entries against as well, because it's a big thing. And then, of course, the physical part. It's mm-hmm. it's a major thing with Christian on top of that. But we need a lot of fact. Do we do what we have to do?
Mm-hmm.
And also what Lucas is in for, he's looking into our style of play. So it's fine to say we want to play this way, we want to do this, and we want to do this, and it's really fine, everything. But do we actually do it? So yeah. This is where he is in, and this is where we for me, used the fact the most. And for me, that's most important, because we have to focus on ourselves and the way we are doing. That's the only way we can be for real.
Problem with players that come into the Czech League from the abroad is always the physical style and everything associated with physical style of play of the Czech League. Do you also see this as the biggest hurdle for the foreigners when they are coming into the Czech Republic? Or I know that you know a league now through and through. So how do you see this?
I don't see it that hard, to be honest. But we also have a style of play where we demand a lot from our players. So we try to develop our style to be even more intense, even more hard to play against. So I know it was also about duels, stuff like this, but it's not far off what you see in Denmark, for example, what you see in those countries. So what I see the most is what Thomas, you're also talking about, the risk. I think that's the biggest difference, that you many teams don't wanna lose. They're afraid of what you can lose instead of what can you achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's even bigger than the physical part.
So the biggest difference is the philosophical one.
Yeah, the way they have chosen, and I'm fully accepted it. So it's not like I say it's wrong. It's more the philosophy of afraid of losing instead of what can we achieve.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about coaches, but like one coach that when it comes to the defensive play always comes to your mind is Jose Mourinho. He's been praised for his defensive. Or like his defensive style of play, but what I'm saying is like even in the derby when we won 3-2, we played quite defensive. Even the defensive style of play can be effective and also look beautiful, right? But you don't choose like to practice this, right?
It's not like we want to go out and break down teams with a defensive structure. That's not our philosophy. we want to have the ball as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But we want an aim with the ball. So we don't, as I said a couple of times, we don't want it just for having it. But the defensive part is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
In our way, it's more even how to press, stay in the block. We wanna disrupt the opponent as many times as and often as possible to get the ball back as fast as possible. That's one way to do it. Some other choose to be a lot in the block and wait and waiting on opposition make mistakes and then go. We choose the first one. Mourinho is masterclass in his way of doing things. I think it's a choice of style, but we are not the setback type of club. We have decided that.
Okay, so we have already talked about Mourinho. So, are there any other colleagues in the world that inspire you?
Of course. I watch a lot of football, read a lot of articles, looking into a lot of drills and so on, just to get inspired and try to develop as a coach, but also develop the game. I'm a big fan of the English football.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of coaches over there who also came from abroad. I look into how they did, but of course Pep Guardiola is one of the biggest. The way he has been changing the way of playing in the world back from actually Johan Cruyff in the Barca time, but how he developed the Barca B team, Barca first team, and then you can name it from there abroad in Germany, England, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
The way he is looking into the game, especially the offensive part, is really nice and effective. I also know he got the best players in the world, so sometimes it's easier, but I like the way it's linked up, because it's not only offensive part. He played the offensive style of play in a way where he has already been thinking of the defensive part. So
mm-hmm.
it's all linked up to what he do. Another guy is quite, you can say, we all know when we say Pep Guardiola, we all have the picture, the film in front of us. This is his team. They do exactly what he want to do. Another guy I admire a lot is Carlo Ancelotti, and I don't know if some of you can say his style of play, because he's a really pragmatic guy who adapts where he is, what style, culture, and the squad he got.
Mm.
And he's probably also one of the top three in the world, and the way he is. The way he has done his career is amazing. So that's a few. And then also, of course, how you treat people. Back in the days, I was quite inspired of Jurgen Klopp when he was in Mainz and Dortmund, especially when he did his job there. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some great experience out there.
Mm-hmm.
Klopp and also Ancelotti is... they work a lot with the fans.
Mm.
And you and Brian mentioned already also several times relationship with the fans. How important for you is this aspect of the game?
I have to be honest. I've always done it. It's not a Sparta thing. It's something I have done no matter where I have been. And I think that the relation and the cooperation with the fans means everything. I think that the worst nightmare I could have is if I was a part of a team and a club where there was no interest. It's been a privilege in my career that I have been in some clubs where the fans was massive, and it's also massive here. I have for the most felt it the positive way, because it has been up the last 7 months, but also when things go wrong and you don't get the results, first of all, fans can also turn against you, but that's also a part of it, and I think it's a privilege to be a part of a club who got a fan base like you do here, we have here. And and we really need to take care of it. And for me, it's as more as I can cooperate and do things for the fans, I'm a big believer of it will come 10 times back. So okay. it's so important for me because they to be honest, let's just say how many times the last 7 months have they changed the game for us also. So when we have been in deep shit and we need that goal and the fans are pushing at Letna.
Plzeň at home.
Yeah, but you can just continue.
Plzeň at home. Lot, yeah. Definitely Plzeň at home. The yeah. atmosphere was yeah. just, no, it was in the air. Like seriously, yeah. you could yeah. feel it. Yeah. Like the people like just wanted to beat them.
I think you can go from certain match and then it's every match.
No, there were like so many matches. Say, yeah. And like when you talk at the pub before the game, like 5 years after, you're not gonna remember every single match.
Yeah.
I'm gonna remember the atmosphere at Plzeň when we won from the penalty, because if the VAR would say like it's not gonna be penalty, like there would be riots. I'm not kidding, Lars. Then Sigma away, the best away game for me the whole season, and then I think the last derby when people were crying up the Kratos penalty. These three games, it made a difference, at least even for me from the stands. You could say Liberec away and others, but I think that you're right.
Chalovet, I mean, we own the stadium. Right. Yeah,
yeah, we own the stadium.
But that is just, this is why it's important, because we are nothing without the fans, and the fans are nothing without us. So we belong to each other. We need to take care of each other. And that's simple. A thing I believe a lot. Has been named as one of the coming stars, young guns coming up. He's a good player. He's a skillful player. In some ways, it's limited. So I want players to think by themselves.